Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. I wanna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got a special guest on my show, ladies and gentlemen. You're in for a treat, so take some notes. This man is an actor, producer, director, model, entrepreneur, and much more. He's going to tell you a little bit about his businesses and plans for the future. Ladies and gentlemen, Joshua Worlds.
What up, what up, what up, what up?
What's up, King? How you doing?
My man.
You know what I'm saying? 100
Johnny.
Grand.
Big in the building.
You know what I'm saying?
Thanks for having me, man. You've been doing your thing. I just want to start off by saying that, man. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, man.
And happy because, you know, when we started this thing, man, we were just trying to figure it out, man.
I'm telling you.
And then we got tired of figuring it out. We said we were going to go get it because we hungry. You know, that East Coast vibe just made us go get it. And I see what you're doing, man. Like some of the people you had on this show, man, just like, it's just a beautiful thing to see you growing like you're doing, man.
Thank you, man. I mean, you know, it was a tough road. I mean, it still is, you know, because I'm still figuring it out. So even with this podcast, my brother, I'm just throwing shit on the wall, seeing if it sticks. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I'm keeping it structured and dressing it up real nice, you know, just to let them know, like, I'm serious about this. But this is just another crazy idea I had. I was just like, listen, I already got the Sleepers for Billionaire brands moving with the music. So I want to write the book, Sleepers for Billionaires. You know what? I'm going to start a podcast as well and tie it in all to that to sell the merch and stuff like that and get some type of brand deal. So, yeah, man, you know, kind of venturing out, expanding my horizons and utilizing the platform to help others. You know what I'm saying? Like, by bringing you here, I want to help, you know, put you in the forefront, let people know what you got going on. You know what I'm saying? Because even when we were talking about it downstairs and you was like, yo, I got to get a little more famous to be on your show. Like, I know you was bullshit, but still, it's not even about that.
It's
you know
not.
What I'm saying? It's about just
that was like me giving you like a...
The
you
props.
Know what I mean?
I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know what I mean? You're doing your thing,
but
man.
I just want to let you know that it's about somebody doing something positive and making the best of their situation.
That's what your show is about. It ain't about the celebrities.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying?
If you happen to be a celebrity, then...
Then cool, just make sure you repost my shit.
Right, man.
But nah, man, but while I brought you on the show, I'm saying you've been doing your thing for a while. I met you on set through a good friend. Shout out my boy, Yala.
Dominicana,
tu sabes, plátano maduro.
Yeah.
So he know when I saw the vibes, it was good. And I see you doing your thing. Then I caught you on the show, All American.
Word,
you know what
word.
I'm saying? I was peeping and I was like, yo, I know that dude. Hold up, I know Jay Reeves and I know Kareem. Oh, my niggas on this show.
Oh, you know Reeves?
Reeves did the show. He was one of my first guests.
Word.
No, not Jay Reeves. I'm sorry, Kareem. Preach.
Okay. Preach. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Jay used to work at Lassen. So I lived in North Hollywood in Wilshire, La Brea. There was a like organic restaurant, a kind of supermarket downstairs, and he worked there.
Word.
And that's how I met him.
You know you from Jersey?
Yeah, that's how we met. So we started talking. I would see him every day, and I would get my proteins, and that's how we got connected. But then when he got on All American, you know, he stopped answering my calls.
He didn't pick up my calls.
I seen him one time in this building. You know, he was talking to some chick, and I was just like, "What up?" But I was on the move, so I just said, "What up?" and kept it moving. But anyway, this is about you.
So, man,
you know, I want to talk about, you know, again, this show is about getting insider information for those looking to be in your position. So you as an entrepreneur, you know, starting with the acting and the modeling and, you know, pursuing into other endeavors with the businesses you have, I want to kind of shed the game to those who want to come and do it after you. You know what I'm saying? Who want to be an actor, or want to be a director, or want to be a model, or want to be an entrepreneur, or want to just multitask and do all those things. So basically, I just want to show that is possible, and you're going to give the tips on how to. But let's start from the beginning, brother. Where you from?
Jersey in the house. Yeah, New Jersey. I was born and raised in Camden.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, towards my teenage years, my parents moved us out to a city called Sicklerville.
Mm-hmm.
So between Sicklerville and Camden. That's where I'm from, South Jersey, stand up.
That's what's up. Yeah. I was over there in Patterson.
Word, that's up north.
Went to Eastside High School.
Eastside High.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Ghost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was there for a minute. It was good. Patterson's different because it's crazy because it's like My mother moved me to Patterson because I had got into a situation where I ended up getting jumped in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. Moms got scared, sent me to Jersey thinking I'd be cool with my granddad. Mm-hmm. But she ain't know Patterson
get it in just as much.
It was even worse than the Bronx. Like, they call Patterson Pakistan, you know, for a reason. So she ain't know what she was putting me in. But I do take from Patterson that it made me grow up even quicker. You know what I'm saying? Because you had to be, when you stepped outside grandma's stoop, it's like, you had to be prepared for anything. And the people that was around you was going to test you and know what it was with you off the rip.
It's going to be every day if you ain't passed that test.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's like you had to be on point with yours. So I definitely feel Jersey had a lot in molding me into the man I am today. And I'm sure it was for you as well.
Yes, definitely. Like I'm so thankful that I grew up in a town like I did, because it gave me the structure and the backbone where a lot of people probably would have gave in by now and just, you know, said, you know what? I'm going to go and do what I know I need to do, and that's be normal and do things that normal people do. But to come up in that, it's like, yo, it can't get no worse than this. So what I'm going to do is put everything in trying to make it way better than this, because I can't lose, because I know what the worst look like already.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I know that, I'm taking everything I can and putting it to try to make it better than it's ever been, because I ain't got shit to lose.
Everything to gain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't appreciate the good without the bad. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's up, man. So I want to talk about, you know, in the beginning stages, man. Like, when did you decide? Like, was being an actor your first dream, or did you have other goals back then?
I definitely had other goals. I kind of got pulled into acting because I just, like, I think I got turned out to acting, if that's the right word to use.
Turned out.
Yeah. I say turned out because, like, it really had me like, oh, I really want to know more. I want to learn.
That's
I
that
study.
Jersey lingo.
Yeah.
Niggas get turned out. It's like the hood took over their mind.
I was hypnotized by this whole art form, you know, of acting and just creating and being able to become different people and make people that's watching you believe you. That was the thing that drew me the most. Like, if I can leave a set and say I had a role where I played the bad character and I left the stage or I left wherever I was at and the people who were watching really was mad at me, I did my job. You know what I'm saying? And that part was what drew me. Like, that I could really play with people's mind and make them think that what's happening is really happening, even though it's not reacting.
Yeah.
That's what I was like, oh, yeah. So as a child, I did a lot of plays in the church.
Oh, okay.
And that's what really got me. And then it was like one moment I had where I kind of went off script and kind of did my own thing, and the crowd erupted, like laughter.
Mm.
And that's when I was like, oh.
I like this.
I want to do this for the rest of my life. I want to make people laugh. I want to entertain people. Even if they ain't laughing, just the way they were watching me, word from word, play by play, go through my lines and go through what I was doing, I was like, oh, I like this. I like the control of it. I like the being my own boss in it and just being able to. It's just a crazy vibe, man, to be able to act. So that's what started for me when I was a kid in church.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, I never like stepped into doing a play yet. I thought about it, man, but then I was like, I kind of like TV and film, you know. The whole thing of, you know, because I know some actors be like, yeah, you can mess up on stage. You just got to be nice at improv and then bring it back, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I don't know. I guess I get a little jitters about it still, you know.
It's tough, yo, because like you said, it ain't no cuts. And because it ain't no cuts, like, one drop line could throw off the course of the whole play because it keeps running. There's no stop. So if you go off, and like you said, you go off and you can come back, then cool. But if you go off and stay off, then the next person don't know when to go. They don't know where they at. It can get crazy, yo. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, for me, I'm glad that I started in theater because I wrote my senior play in high school.
Nice.
We took that on competition. We lost. But just the fact that they paid money for us to get on the bus and go compete for something that I wrote, that was good enough. I wasn't tripping about winning because I'm like, man, the fact that they even, like, because I was, when I wrote it, I didn't even think they was going to accept it.
Mm.
You know, and they did. And that's, like I said, it was everything that when I did with acting, it kind of just drew me, and it flowed. It wasn't something like with football. Like, football was hard. You had to constantly complete, constantly work out, constantly every day. No matter how good you was yesterday, you got to be better tomorrow.
Right.
I didn't feel like that in acting. Acting came to me so freely. Like, the learning of the line, the understanding of the art of it. It was like, so, yeah.
Now, I feel you. Yeah, like, I started in music. So, you know, writing my rhymes and reciting words, that formula right there helped me with acting, with studying my lines and memorizing easy and finding a little something in the script that helps me remember it quickly so I can recite it over and over. Because you know when you shoot the same scene like 6-7 times all the time.
Word.
So you got to deliver it just as you did in the first time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I feel you utilizing certain things that helped you with the new thing, which is acting, you know, from stuff that you've done in the past. So that's great.
So with acting, then football, and I'm glad for football because football gave me the discipline and the will to want to stay in shape and keep my body right because, you know, you want to look good on camera. Mm-hmm. And then once football started to titter because of, you know, injuries and just, you know, the politics and that, I'm like, well, this ain't my only talent. So it was okay for me to walk away from that, you know, because that wasn't my go-to. It was just something I did well. You know, and I understood that once I got older with it. Like, you know, you don't need to put all your chips in this basket because you can mess around and be limping for the rest of your life.
Right. You wasn't trying to go pro anyway, huh?
I was at one point. Okay. I won't lie to you. It was at one point when I was in college that I thought that I might have a shot, at least at overseas, if nothing else.
What position? Running back?
I played wide receiver and I played safety.
Okay. Good stuff.
So, yeah, I thought about, you know, maybe just being able to take it overseas and make my moves over there and then maybe coming back playing a year or two in the NFL. But before I got that far, I realized for that game, like, you see people like LeBron, you see people like, that's just built, like, in a way, like, Ezekiel Elliott, like, his body structure, like, he was supposed to play football. Like, he wasn't supposed to be at Walmart, nowhere else. He was supposed to be playing, like, look at
him. What are you doing Uber Eats? What are you doing?
Yeah, look at basketball your neck, bro.
Look at your neck.
Crazy, bro. His shirts don't even button.
Right.
But, yeah, y'all, so I love it.
Yeah, you know, God got a plan for everybody, man. So, you know, I think you're right where you need to be. You know what I'm saying?
I believe that.
So, yeah, so, okay, so at what point did you decide, yo, I'm going to take my talent to the West Coast?
I'm going to tell you it happened. It was crazy, and I don't want to be too deep. Like,
get
you know,
deep. Get deep, brother.
I won't get deep. Yeah, well, all right, well, yeah, we're going to get deep then. All right, cool. So, look, I was, I didn't even know I was coming to L.A., bro, honestly, yo. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a thought in my mind because I'm a very strategic person. Like, for me, it has to be planned out. I got to know. Like, you know, it's chess for me. Everything is chess. I got to know what's happening 3 moves from now, what can happen 3 moves from now. Mm-hmm. If he goes here, I might have to, you know what I'm saying? All that has to be for me. And when this L.A. thing happened, it wasn't none of that. Mm. And that's how I knew it was God, because the way it happened, like, God, this got to be you, because I didn't even have the time to think about it, let alone plan it.
Mm.
So when it happened, like, I was at the church. I was actually working at the church. I had just, you know, I had my past life, you know. We've all had that, and I was just coming out of that and all my legal business and getting my life, like, fixed back up from being young and wild and free.
Right, wild and out,
So I was getting all that together. I was working at the church, had a little janitorial job. I didn't mind. I was just trying to get my life back into a better rim. So I was working there, and I was also doing the plays at my church. Shout out to Bethany Baptist Church, man. That's my church hometown. They allow us to do, like, a drama segment every other Sunday. So... Mm-hmm. In between, they do the miming. So it's the dance one Sunday, and it'll be acting the other Sunday. So they gave us maybe about 15 minutes on stage to put together like a little skit with a positive message to it and some good acting. So that was beautiful because I got a chance to practice, and I got a chance to be around what I love. And I wasn't so sure what I was going to do with it. I was going to try to work the New York market and see what was up while still working. You know the grind. Like, I got to work because I got to live. So I can't really do it as much as I want. And then... You know, some guy came to me and prophesied it, man. After a play I did, I think the role I played was God. And it was really a powerful role for me. I'm like, man, this is a big role to play God.
Some
like,
big shoes to fill right there.
I don't think I'm worthy. Like, Lord, I got too much going on in my past to be playing you. But I played it, and it really overwhelmed me a lot more than I thought it would. Like, afterwards, I broke down and cried. It was crazy, bro. And right after that, I was, like, in a lobby just talking to people that was coming up to me, like, yo, good job. You did a good job. And it's like, and this guy came up to me, like, would you believe me? I'm talking about he was iced out, bro. Mm-hmm. Suit was laid. Jewelry was laid. He looked like he had a couple dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And when people come up to me and talk to me like that, I take heed to that. Like, don't come to me looking worse than me and you telling me you got something to tell me.
Right.
I'll take my chances. But this guy looked the part, and he looked like what he was about to tell me was something I need to listen to.
Before you continue to what he was going to listen to, okay, because I had this conversation with a friend of mine, like, okay, we as, for some reason, we tend to listen to people who more so look the part than others.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, we won't take $1 million worth of game from a homeless man, but we'll take it somebody who fits the role. And why do you think that is?
For me, I wouldn't say I wouldn't take it from the homeless man, but I got to really weigh out what I'm going to take from him. You know what I'm saying? Now, he might drop some jewels on me just because he lived life, and yeah, his situation might not equate to what he's saying, but he lived life enough to know that what he is saying has truth to it. So I would depict and go through that and see what he's saying to see what I can apply to my life. So I wouldn't just shut it all the way out. But you get those people that ain't even doing better than you in life. Like, they need a job. They doing bad. Like, they caught a bus to y'all's, and they telling you what you need to be doing. Now, that's where I draw the line. Like, listen, if you're going to tell me what I need to be doing and you sure about that, I should be able to see what you telling me reflect in your life.
True. However, I feel like if someone in that situation that's telling you what you need to be doing probably already knows that what you need to be doing ain't working for them, but it might work for you because you're doing that. You know what I mean? Because they see the road you're trying to go through. So that's why I listen to everybody. Not listen and take, you know, I listen and take what I need or what I can utilize on what they say from anybody because you just never know. You
never know. So I don't ever shut that off.
Like, yeah, just try to be open-minded when receiving information because knowledge is power and you don't know where it's going
to
come from.
Because you know what Hov said, and that's probably why my mind frame is like that. And I try not to be like one-track minded on things that I believe in. But when Hov said it, it did kind of hit me. He was like, they tell you how to do it. They never done it. And to that standpoint, I'm like, you right. Because like, how you going to tell me what I need to do in my acting career and you don't have one?
Well, maybe he wasn't trying to be an actor, though. But he might be dropping some jewels.
If his sources and where he dropping them is coming from a place of experience, then I'm going to listen.
Touche. I'm with that. All right, so continue your story. He iced out. He's about to drop some jewels.
He iced out, and he walked up to me. He's like, yeah, man, would you believe me if I told you I was homeless a year ago? And he said, would you believe if I tell you that the car that's outside is $100,000? I own it, pulled out the keys. He said, would you believe it if I told you the house I live in now is $900,000, almost $1 million house that you live in? And I'm like, man, that's great. I'm hyped because I'm always hyped to see people come from the underdog to that. So I'm like, oh, that's what's up. I'm not even thinking about where he going with this. I'm just like, I don't know why you're telling me this, but I'm still happy for you because you were a brother that was low and you came up. I said, that's what's up. Need more like you. I said, I told him, I said, you know what that let me know? That God's still out here blessing people. So I'm happy to hear that. That's what's up. He was like, that's not what I came to talk to you about. He said, pack your bags. I said, pack my bags. I ain't even home. What are you talking about? So I said, all right, this is a little different. And that's when you start feeling like the little hair stand up. Like, all right, this is a different situation. All right, let me listen to what he's saying. Pack my bags. All right, let's get to what you're talking about. Like, I'm done with my legal business. I ain't going on no kind of vacation. You know the vacation. What you talking about? I'm done. Like, they told me I was good. He said, nah, pack your bags. He said, I can't tell you where you're going, but in a week, you're not going to be living here no more.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's right. And I, after that day,
how old were you at this age, at this time?
Shoot, I was probably like, I just turned 30.
Oh, when that happened?
Yeah, that was like right before I came to Cali.
Oh, okay.
For the first time, yeah. He told me that, and bro, I promise you, a week and a half, I had a ticket, and I was on my way to Cali. And it was never planned up until that conversation I had with him. The next week, somebody called me and was like, look, I'm out here. I don't know how long I'm going to be out here, but you can stay with me until you get things going. And that's exactly what happened. I came out here. That person wound up going off somewhere else. And then I had to figure it out. I said, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to go home with a whole bunch of stories of how I could have had it. So I stayed here. I lived on the beach. I stayed in the park. I did what I had to do until I got to the place that I'm at now. And I just knew. Like, my first week out here, I didn't know nobody. I ain't know nothing. I got on my first little production, which was one of those court shows. Got on one of those court shows, and just being around that, and I'm like, oh, I can do this. Like, we was talking up on the roof. Like, yo, it's possible. And once that happened, I was like, yo, I don't care what I got to do. Like, I'll go hungry. I'll do whatever I got to do, because once I get to the finish line, it'll all make sense.
Facts. Hey, man, much more power to you, man. I see a great bright light ahead of your future, man. So just stay the course. God, see you the rest of the way.
I'm ready to eat this cup, man.
Man, I'm ready to eat this building.
You hear me?
Yeah, I'm playing with you.
You hear me?
Like, and shit one back out with my name in the front. You know?
Kim for the win-win, too, man. Shout out to my daughter, man. Like, always want to, you know, mention her name and everything that I do, man. And even hashtag her or just let her know. Like, she the energy that keep me going, even though, you know, we lost her. You know, the energy that she had when she was alive.
God bless the dead, man.
Yeah, man. And the energy that she had was when she was alive, it just make me look at it, like, even with her condition, because she had diabetes type 1. Mm-hmm. She had to, you know, it was hard for me, you know.
Was that hereditary?
I don't think so. Nobody on either side ever had it. It was a rare condition, actually. Right.
Fuck, man. So, and that comes from, like, a lot of sugar?
Not even. That's what I thought immediately. I was like, you know, when I first heard about, we got to change her diet, it had nothing to do with eating.
Ah, man.
It had something to do with her white blood cells. Oh, so and they didn't accumulate the way they needed to, so she had to take insulin to keep it level, you know. And like I said, bro, when we first found out about it, like, we didn't find out about it until she was like 6 or 7. That's when it hit, because from that point she was fine, she had nothing.
Damn.
And then 6 or 7, we found out this, and you know, she did really well with it. Her energy, like I said, bro, I was, because I'm dad, you know, giving my baby a needle to give her the insulin. I had a hard time with that, even though I knew it was needed and it's what she needed and she was used to it. But she was so brave, and that's why I said from here on out, everything is kinking for the women, because she was so brave and had such a good energy about it. Like, she do it herself. I got it, dad. Bow. Take it. All right, let's go play. Just a beast like that. And even in the times when she would do that, and even to now that we lost her, I look at that and I say, yo, it's never going to be a time where I'm on this earth where I'm going to chill, because she could have been the sickly kid in the bed all the time, depressed. Like, I mean, she was in pageants, bro. She was a Girl Scout. She did the sword fighting thing, man. She, you know, everything and anything that she could be involved in, she was in it. She had high energy every time you see her. She always turned ready to dance and be the life of the party. And you would never even know she was dealing with what she was dealing with, man. Yeah. So I was just like, damn, man, that's some bravery at that age. To have that situation you was dealing with and still be the person she was. And that's why, for me, like, everything, like, when I say I'm ready to eat everything, I got to eat everything in front of me and go hard at everything in front of me for her, to show her, like, look, I don't even know, baby, if I can be as great as you was, but I'm going to try my best for your legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's possible for somebody to be as pure and as great as you was and have the mind frame you had, and really nothing affects you. Like, even when I would have to get on her sometimes for just being a kid, like, it would, for her, it was seconds. And then it's back to, all right, you still love me, dad? All right, come on. And that right there, I'm like, that's something that I even to this day as an adult, like, charted myself, like, damn, I gotta find out the essence of that, yo, because that's important, you know? Because a lot of times we grow up and we let the world get the best of us and turn us into these ugly people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, damn, yo, I don't want to be that person, but, you know, sometimes people will just take you there, and in the life will take you there, and not just looked at her and all the things that could have had her there and could have made her miserable or mean or just a depressed or down child. And she just, like, never showed no signs of anything, bro. You literally, the only time you would know my daughter had any is when she pulled that thing out and would take her own, prick herself, take her own blood, check it. All right. She knew the numbers. She knew how to subtract the food. It was the craziest thing, bro. Like, the craziest thing, man. And like I said, I just take that with me. Like, look, baby, like I said, I don't know if I can be as good as you, but for your legacy, I'm your dad. I got to make sure that for the days I don't want to get up, I got to get up.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure it was plenty of them for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you got up, you went to school, you didn't complain. She loved going to school. She loved being around people. And I'm just like, dang, bro, in that condition, she was supposed to be in the bed. You feel me? And that wasn't it for her. So for me, I'm like, man, if she can do that, ain't nothing in this world, bro. I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah, I know. That's an unfortunate situation. My condolences as well, man. But I know that's definitely adding some fuel to your fire, for sure. You know what I'm saying? Get a building with her name on it or something. Man, you know what I mean?
It's personal now. I mean, we got the studio back at the crib. You know, I told you I got the venue, Miss Silly's Blues. Mm-hmm. And in the back part, I built a music recording studio, and I named it after her. Her nickname was Llama. Mm-hmm. She loved the llama animal. Her name was Llama Mama, we called her. And so the name of the studio is Llama House Studios. So that's one thing we got with her name on it. We're going to get a whole bunch more. I want to start a school, an entertainment school, focusing just on entertainment and, you know, that part of life, you know, where you can go to school and learn engineering, learn film.
Video production.
Learn, stuff. You know, and really hands-on with it, like sort of like a AI, you know, art institute or something like that, but with our own entity, our own private entity, and be able to really, like, because one thing about schools and stuff, it's all about, like, you can go to a school, get your credentials from it, but if it don't hold no weight, like, you just got a degree at a school. But if you got a degree at a school that holds weight, then you can go places. And that's what I want to build my school. I don't want to just have a school where people go through my school and then nothing happens afterwards. I want to be able to build a school with my reputation so that when people are leaving my school, they're going to get jobs on major sets and productions. Mm. And they're going right into music, you know, record labels and, you know, doing what they're supposed to do from my school. Mm. And not like most schools where you graduate and you stuck just paying it back and getting a job that you ain't even go to school for.
Right. Nah, not so many people that go through that, but that's a great idea, especially if you do something like that in the city where we come from, where there's no opportunities like that. It'll give people so much more hope, because like I was telling you earlier, man, so much talent in Jersey, and it's like they're just a product of their environment. They don't know nothing else, so they're stuck in that rap race, and they're not, their dreams are far-fetched. You know, they still rap, yeah, but they're the best dude on their block, and they ain't leaving their block. You know what I'm saying? So it's like...
You ever feel like that when you be back home, bro? You be looking at some dudes, like, because you know what you possess and what you going to do out here. I know what I'm going to possess, what I'm going to do out here. But you ever see some dudes back home, like, yo, this nigga can go to Cali, yo.
He'll pop.
He'll pop.
I'm telling you.
Then you try to talk to him, and while you talking to him, you can feel it that this is never going to happen. That's the craziest thing. I'm like, yo, bro, I be trying to, like, really hype him. Like, yo, bro, come stay with me. Like, you can, like, get an airbed, stay in my, you know what I mean? My pad is small, but we make it work, bro. But just go out there and do your thing, because I'm seeing where my talents and gifts is taking me, and I see them same talents and gifts in you. And if you could just apply them to the right thing, you can apply them in Jersey, because in Jersey, you get up and go to work.
Yeah.
So if after you get up and go to work, if you got kids, you got that obligation or whatever else obligation you got, it ain't really much time to chase your dream after that, because then you got to sleep, eat, and shit. So outside of that, like, that 24 hours a day just turned into maybe 6 hours left now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You got 6 hours to work on your dreams. It's not going to happen. You put 8 at a job, 6 is sleeping, 3 to 4 in commute.
8 to sleep. Yeah, 8 to sleep.
Half of your 24 is done, and you ain't even do shit yet. Like, it's 24 hours, 8 of them, you almost at your halfway point, and you ain't did nothing yet but sleep.
Right.
And you got to shit, take a shower, eat. You know what I'm saying? Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, you had 16, 17 hours, and all you did was sleep and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And half of your 24 is out the window, and you only got maybe 4 or 5.
Man, listen, dog, I see it all the time, man. There's dudes in our old neighborhoods that's just sitting there, and, you know, I wish they were in a better situation, because, like you said, you see the gift that God has blessed them with, but the environment is, like, keeping them locked down. And it's just sad to see, man. I know a dude, you know, shout out my boy Hard Luck. He used to go by Ghost Murder back in the day. And he was, like, the nicest dude in Patterson. Like, the nicest as rapping.
Hard Luck. I heard of Hard Luck. What was he on the Smack DVD?
Nah, he was fucking with Bird Gang for a while. And then he's doing his own thing now. He got the Boss Mob crew. Boss Mob.
I remember hearing Hard Luck spit, man. Hard Luck. Yeah, y'all know. Yeah, I actually know one of his bars, man.
Yeah, that's my guy, like my bro. Like we, yeah, I knew him for like 25 years. Went Bushy with me.
I think he was on that D Block joint.
Yeah, you went
Bushy, cause Styles P next, cause he was like Hard Luck. If you wasn't something, you would score. And then Styles P come on. If you wouldn't bust your gap with me, you never set with me.
Nah. You talking about something else. I know that song, Hard Luck, wasn't on that song.
He wasn't? But he said Hard Luck. So I'm thinking, I thought that was a connection. All
right. I don't think they made an acquaintance yet. I don't know if he met Styles P yet. But, you know what I'm saying? Hard Luck, even when I was in high school, when I was back in Jersey, he was the nicest dude on the block. And he had minor success there. Like, he done BET 106 in Park. He went on tour with Jim Jones and stuff like that. You know, but he kind of still in a situation. So it's like, I feel like if we was to change his situation, put him like in a place like Cali or New York full time, so much more will happen for him. But
because it won't be part time. Like, he won't be just hitting at it when he got the chance to. It'd be an all day thing like it is for us. Like, when I'm in Cali, I don't think about my business back home. I don't think about really too much of what's going on back home. As long as ain't nobody dying, I tell people that when they call and text me, listen, if ain't nobody dying, you got to miss me. Because right now, I'm mourning something, and I need my mind to be free, because I'm constantly turning, I'm constantly creating, like, my own content. I'm trying to get on other people's content. I'm trying to, you know, motivate. So I really don't got time to sit down and talk about maybe she shouldn't have told you to shut up like that. She probably shouldn't have, but... The old me, I had time for that. Now I don't. And I ain't, you know, whatever people feel, however they need to feel, that's cool. I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not supposed to have time for that, because I can go and do things that nobody else from my city can do. So right. If I get myself caught up in what's going on in the city, our city stands still.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody do nothing, nobody, because now they pulling me back into where they at, and I'm not able to hear. So, yeah, you're right. When you take a dog out of his cage and put him in the yard, like, he becomes more of a king to his territory. Mm-hmm. Like, now that's your guard dog. Like, you got him trapped up in the cage. He don't know what to do when he come out that cage.
Mm-hmm.
He need to be able to be around. Like you said, like, when you wake up here every day, and I was talking to your boy upstairs, like, just waking up in this vibe. If you had a bad night of sleep, or you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, even me, where I live at, like, when I look out my window, I'm like, you know what? Let's go.
It can always be worse.
I know you, like, bro, you talking about how you go up on the roof and have your coffee. I know whatever day you have, and when you go up there and do that, you be like, you know what? Let me get down here and get that.
Let me get the work.
Because I need all this.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I need to own where I'm at, and I need to be able to touch and walk in all these buildings, and they know my name, and they treat me like the person that I'm supposed to be, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I be feeling, yo.
Real shit. No, I feel that, man. So how the All-American opportunity come about?
Sheesh. Bro, let me tell you. Doing the same thing we met doing,
mm-hmm.
extra work.
Hey,
listen.
Shout out to all my extras, my BGs.
Yo, y'all know how hard we go on extra work, man.
I don't think they understand, though, man.
Them boxes of oranges and apples they be bringing out for us, man.
Half the sandwiches after a 6-hour day. We ain't done yet.
Y'all gotta stop it, man. I think I'm gonna be an advocate for once I make it in my career, I'm gonna be an advocate for non-union.
Oh, my brother, I've been talking about that, man.
We was talking about doing the video. Yeah, what was we gonna call it?
Action Background.
We was talking about
that. Still, it's still on deck. It's still
Maybe
on deck.
You should have said that on video.
It's
bro,
all
whatever.
Good. I'll edit it. You know, but yeah, that's still on deck. That's still on deck, man. I think that I actually want to interview the president of SAG. So she was, I don't know if you remember that show, 90210.
Mm-hmm.
So the girl with the glasses.
Mm.
So she's the president of SAG.
Wow.
And also, I think the Angela Bassett's husband is, I think he's like the vice president. Or he's like,
yeah, they just sent me an email of that update. Yeah, they just changed some things around in SAG.
Yeah, so I want to interview them and have that conversation, because I don't really think they know how non-union is treated and what we go
they have
through.
To. Because like you said, everybody had to go through it. Like, think about it. Tom Cruise used to be in Central Casting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you go in Central Casting, that's one of the first names that they say. Tom Cruise working at El Pollo Loco in Central Casting before he got his break.
Yeah, but I think more so of the... I know everybody had to go through, like, the background and all that. But I mean, as far as, like... Damn.
Do they know how bad it is?
Yeah.
Like, almost like jail reform. Like, do they know what's going on in jail?
Do you know,
like,
what's going on? Do
yeah.
you know how long it takes sometimes for us to get paid? Do you know how, like, we're just put off to the side while they do this? But then again, then I think, like, I wonder if they even care, though.
They probably don't.
Yeah, because it's like, you know.
It's like initiation for me. That's why I just, you know, like, it was times where I'd be on set, bro, and I know you was too. Like, yo, this is crazy. Like, even looking at some of the main characters, like, y'all kidding me? Like, why? You cannot audition for this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a process, I think. It's about putting your work out to the universe. And that's what I started chalking it up as, and I had a better attitude about it. And once I got a better attitude about it, things start clicking for me. Because when I was going in there mad, like, oh, man, this is bull crap, man. They about to have us in here sitting... Ain't about to get no camera time. They keep asking to get up and walk by, and they know the camera ain't on. It's like, it was just, you know, it get redundant, and it get frustrating sometimes as an actor when you trying to just get your shot, and all you can seem to keep doing is walking past the camera. So it's tough, but like I said, once you do get past that, like, it make it all worth it, and it make you hungry. Like, all right, now that we here. I remember sometimes being on set, looking over there at the SAG cat eating, like, the chef be over there chopping his stuff up, putting it on there, steam coming up, we be over there with the sandwich.
Yeah.
What's up now? All right, what's up? Crazy, bro, but yeah, man, that SAG situation is definitely, it was definitely an eye-opener for me. Like, all right, because I ain't going to hold you. Right before I got that role, because I got it. I'm going to tell you, I got it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Went on Facebook, because sometimes you get on LA Casting on Facebook, and they'll just list some stuff that may not be on the phone call or the sites, and they'll list something like Spare the Moment. So they listed it, gangster looking. I'm like, oh, this is so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Sent them my information. They hit me back, bro. They hit me back, and this is the crazy part. They hit me back. I was non-union. When I showed up to set, they gave me a SAG
voucher.
And I ain't gonna hold you. I sat there. This is my first one. I sat there with it for 1 second. Because there was times where I thought I got it before. They was like, nah, you wouldn't know if you got one. So, because I was always like, what is a voucher? What did it look like? Because I never got one. So I'm like, man, what is this voucher crap y'all talking about? So when I got it, I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, it's a different color paper and everything. I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to get this, because I'm definitely not union. but my name was on it. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, I ain't gonna say nothing. Signed this joint, gave it back to him, whatever. Ain't say nothing for the rest of the day. Got to the end of the day, signed off, everything was cool. Mm-hmm. And then at lunch, because I didn't really know what was going on, I ended up sitting down and having lunch with one of the producers. I didn't even know because the way he was dressed, he looked like one of the crew. Mm-hmm. So he was chilling, he was talking, we was talking. Bro, I wound up getting called back to that show 8 more times. You know, you need 3 vouchers. Mm-hmm. So then I became a must join, and then that was it. It took one show, All American.
That's amazing, dog. Yeah, when I saw you on it, I was like, yo, I just smiled. I was like, I know the dude. That's when I took a picture and we posted it on the gram.
Word, yo.
That's what's up, man. Good stuff, man. But yeah, but going back to the SAG thing, man, my whole thing with that is more so once you join, you can't do non-union work. But what I think the people, the higher-ups don't know is that it's more non-union work than there is SAG stuff. And they're picking people with bigger, like more stuff on their resume. So you can be stuck literally not working for like 3 or 4 months as a SAG artist. So it should be allowed that at those times, you know, we can do non-union work and not get penalized for it, because it's like, we gotta eat and we came out here to chase our dreams. We ain't come here to be a bartender and then act on the side because there's more non-union work and we can't do non-union as a union guy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's my whole thing with it. It should be allowed more opportunities to make money if this is what they're coming to chase as a career. I mean, it's cool that they give you a pension and stuff like that for as union, but still, I mean, it should be more consistency in the check. But I guess the way it's structured, it all depends on your resume.
Yeah, and just like, you know, like getting your weight up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Doing different things. That's why I said, like, to this point, like, I'm interested in theater still. I'm interested in, you know, just getting out there. Like, even if it ain't the highest paid roles, just to put my work in. You know, my body of work. So mm-hmm. that way, a year from now, just like now, like I was putting in work, doing stuff for free, but it was being shot with great cameras, great crews, great ideals. So now I got a reel. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. I got a reel that I can present now. So although I didn't get paid the big bucks for it, I sacrificed a whole lot to be there and do it because my time that I was putting into it, I wasn't getting paid for it. So where I could have been somewhere else making money, I wasn't. But in the long term, now I got something where they say, well, we want to see you act. I hate saying I'm an actor and everybody, well, what you been on? Now I can send them a link. Here goes some of the things I've been working on. And like I said, it all looks good. So we got All American now. My clip's in there. I could chop that up, put that in there. Mm-hmm. And then I got me doing some speaking roles in some of these smaller, you know, student films that wasn't really paying nothing. But I did them, and like even now that I'm in the union, I still want to, you know, work my way and like still do extra work. It'll be union extra work, which is different. You get camera time, and you might even get bumped up to something else.
You pay but, more for your time.
Right, and just keep working. Yo, that's all I say to anybody after anything in your life. Like, if you ain't learned nothing else from Kobe Bryant, man, like he was a phenom when it came to the work ethic. Him, Mayweather, a lot of the greats, you know, like that really was great and like undeniably great. Like their work ethic was crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. Like Mayweather, I watch him sometimes before I go to the gym just to get that energy he has around his work ethic, how he like embraces it. Where some of us, we go to the gym because we know we have to. Like he can't wait to get to the gym because he know the process of what it's going to take for him to stand in the ring on fight night and not be worried. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, yo.
It's amazing, man. And it's like, you know, it's like a certain individual to analyze the process, what it takes to be great, and then applying that shit, and then attacking it, like, at level 10 every day, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to want to, like, beyond bad. You got to, it got to be win or die for you.
It's got to be like them blockers that they put on the horses in the horse race.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You really got to put them on. Tunnel vision, all those little quotes, like, they emphasize a little bit more in my head now because I feel like I get it now. As I get older, I know I'm going to keep getting it. But I keep getting it, like, less of the messiness and the humane thing because we ain't human anyway. They say we weird already. We artists. We weird. We don't really fit into any job. We have our own time in. We have our own sleep schedule. We have everything that's different. And it's not that we going out of our way to just be different so we can say, hey, we're different. That's really just how we operate as artists. So we have no choice but to continue on in that. And like Kobe said, like, invest everything in it. Once you make up in your mind this is what you want to do, it shouldn't be no plan B. Your plan B should be another way to make your plan A work, if anything. Like, I met a girl the other day, and I ain't knocking nobody that got a job while they chasing their dream. But I just, like you said, when we was breaking down, like, the hours in the day, I was just trying to figure out. And she had a pretty decent, I hope she don't watch this and be offended, but she had a pretty decent idea of business that I thought, like, even I wouldn't even invest in. Like, how do I get in part? Like, she rents out costumes, you know, from Disney to whatever kind of costume you're looking for an event, party, for your child, or for whoever. And she owns a couple costumes and she rents them out. Lucrative business. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like, you know, being in business and knowing, like, how you gotta, like, get out there and let people know you exist, and you gotta, like, promote your business and let people know about your business. So it's something to think about if they were even thinking about doing. Like, a lot of people don't even know about your business to do business with you. Mm-hmm. And I just figured out in my head, I was like, well, if you work here full time, she worked at the place I get my pictures printed out. Mm-hmm. I said, if you work here full time, how much time are you really putting in to growing your business so you don't have to work here no more? Mm-hmm. And is that ever going to transition over, or are you going to just continue to have a mediocrity business and work here?
You see, then I feel you on that. And I think the first step in that whole process, she has to have that vision that, okay, my part-time will be my full-time. You know what I'm saying? But if she doesn't and it's just a side piece, then that's what it's forever going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, it'd be the fear. It'd be the fear of people feeling like they got to meet a status quo. Like, you know, they like to dress a certain way, they like to eat a certain way, they like to drive certain things. And that security of having that job allows them to do that. That security behind their dream doesn't give you that. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some hungry nights. It's going to be some populous nights. There's going to be some wearing the same thing for 3 days night. And if you're not ready for the scrutiny that's going to come behind that, people talking about you, laughing at you, looking at you like you crazy like they did when Noah built the ark. Mm-hmm. If you can't get through that, people always talk about the grind. The grind is easy, especially when you're doing what you love. Like, it don't take nothing for us to sit on set and create. Like, we be on set for 12 hours. I'm like, oh, we've been here for 12? Oh, that's crazy.
Half the battle is showing up, man.
Showing up and blocking out all what's going to stop you from showing up.
Facts.
That's the hardest part of the grind. People always talk about the nights and days that you hear about Beyonce putting in and her practicing her steps and how many hours her and her dancers practice. That they love doing that. Mm. That's like somebody that love playing basketball and you giving them an open gym. Like, you're not hurting them with that.
Right.
That's love. So a lot of times people think that the grind is in the work itself. That's the easy part, because we already doing what we love. The hard part is blocking everybody else to stay focused enough on that grind to see it to its fruition. Mm-hmm. If you all over the place, you got your girlfriend, you got your mans in them, you got your family calling you, and then you got all these other little issues that you constantly attaching yourself to, your focus, just like a job, is only 6 hours of the day that you're going to be able to really put into that. That's if you can block everything else that happened throughout them 18 hours mm-hmm. out long enough to do that. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I mean, it is what it is, man. You just, but it's the key is being aware of that. Everything you say, you have to be aware. You got to keep that third eye open. Like, nah, if I do this and all this come with it, that's going to take a lot of time out of my day, and then I won't be able to do this. Like, you have to see it like you're bored. Like, you got to see, like, if I go here and do all this, I ain't got no time over here, then this is going to die out. Like, that third eye got to be open. You got to be aware of everything that comes.
Have you ever had somebody call you and be talking about something that while y'all on the phone is touching you, is like detrimental? Like, damn, bro, I don't know what we going to do. And then you see that same person a week from now on the joint, where you might even still be feeling the way about what it is y'all talking about, but you see them happy and a whole nother vibe, and you were like, yo, I spent mad days on this, like trying to figure out how we was going as a, you know, because I got love for the person who called me, trying to figure out how we was going to work our way out of this situation. I was even thinking about compromising my situation to see this person, and this person ain't even thinking about this. So now, when people call me from that experience, and it keep happening that way, I said, yo, I'm going to give it a week and see what happened. And this allowed me to keep on my path, and now, like I said, if somebody about to die or close to it, we'll reach that point in a week from now. Mm. And then now, maybe we need to stop what we're doing and take time out for whatever it is. But if it ain't to that level, people be saying I don't care. People be saying I'm heartless. Nah, I just know, like, something that you don't know. Like, you attach yourself to that because there's nothing else for you to attach to. Mm. I'm chasing something. And it kind of scares me to attach myself to that, because anybody know when you working out and you on the treadmill, you do not want to hit the stop button until your time is done. Because to hit your stop button and still got 10 minutes to go, that might not happen. Mm-hmm. You might stop and be like, tomorrow, because you didn't stop your momentum. You know what I'm saying? You didn't let your body cool down. Like, you got to keep running to the, like, I've done it a couple times. Been on the treadmill, and you know, that little magnet, running, popped it off. Mm-hmm. Treadmill stopped.
Damn. Yeah, I hate that shit.
And now you got to start that whole, you 5 minutes in. You know how hard it is to get, because once 5 minutes, like, your breathing is regular now. You didn't got past all the hard, hurting shit. Mm-hmm. And now your body's like, all right, you got a little nice little pace. But at five, to stop and start at one again, Jesus.
I know, right? Just the vision of seeing the five go back to zero is like, does something to you. Like, fuck, man.
Even if you take some time
it's
off.
It's like you didn't even do it.
Yeah, like and then like you really starting over, yo. And mentally, it'll kill you. So, being mentally prepared is the biggest part of success. It's the biggest part of capturing your essence and you know, dominating your dreams and everything that you're trying to do. Like, you got to be mentally locked in. And that's what I learned, you know, because I'm a Kobe fan. I'm a Lakers fan. I'm a Kobe fan. Like, and it was hard, bro, because I live in Sixers Nation. Mm. Right there in Camden, New Jersey, Philadelphia is across the bridge. So everybody from South Jersey to Philly in that area, Eagles and Sixers fans. So I was in Sixers Nation when Kobe and them snatched that title and AI stepped over Tyronn Lue and that whole situation. Mm-hmm. I was in Sixers Nation, but because I am the person I am, I had my Kobe jersey on in Sixers Nation, but I can fight coming up because, you know, I come from a family of mm-hmm. boxing, so I was allowed to do that. I probably wouldn't be able to wear it if I couldn't fight because I would probably have to fight every day because that's how serious they took that in Sixers Nation. Like, mm-hmm. especially if we beat the Sixers and they, you know, AI, and they were supposed to win that year. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't do nothing with Shaq and Kobe. Mm-hmm. But, I wore my jersey, bro, and it was hard being a Lakers fan. That's why, you know, with this whole thing happening, it kind of touched me a little different. I'm like, people don't know, like, I was riding for the Lakers. And I ain't never been to L.A., not from L.A., but I was a Lakers fan, diehard, from Magic, always Kareem, all that. So, like, I watched Kobe. I watched his career. I watched him come up. But something told me, you know, look at this documentary. It's still on Showtime. It's called Muse. It was so, bro, like the bars and that, if you get a chance, bro, still on Showtime, just get on your DVR and just watch that joint. Just listen to him talk, bro. Like, this is like, man, like when he talk about some of this stuff, and then he had like other people that can like coincide with his stories where, you know, AI said one time he came in town, he was about to play the Lakers, and he was with Kobe, and it was late, and Kobe said, what you great, though? He said, oh, I'm about to hit the club. You know what I'm saying? They having a little something for me at the club. And he said, hey, I said, what you great do? Kobe said, I'm great, go to the gym.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
Like, to dedicate yourself. Yeah, like, to dedicate yourself in that way, that's where I'm trying to get to. Like, when I look at my success, I look at the Will Smiths, the Denzel Washingtons, the Mayweathers, the Kobes, the Deion Sanders, like, all the people that I love coming up, like, All them dudes had a different type of mentality about what they wanted to see happen. They had a swag about it. And not only did they have a swag about it, but they had an understanding. They was going to make everybody else understand why they had that swag about what they had. You might not believe it at first, but you know, they hated Kobe. Came in shooting air balls. He had too much swag. He was cocky. He came right out of high school. Who this kid think he is? He had to make them believe in the fact of who he was. And that's where I'm at in life right now. Like, you, listen, whatever you said about me, whatever I was, you gonna believe me in this segment of my life.
Facts. My brother. Yeah, I'm gonna end it off right there. You just dropped some bombs, man.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming through, man.
You're already,
and,
bro.
I wish you much success in all your endeavors, man. I mean, definitely. Like I said, bright future ahead of you. My pleasure of knowing you, and I look forward to doing a lot of business with you as much as we possibly can. Man, let the people know where they follow you and all that stuff.
Follow
man.
Me on Facebook and Instagram at Joshua Worlds. So that's Joshua Worlds. So the world with an S. Joshua Worlds. On Instagram, it's 2 underscores in between my name. But on Facebook, it's straight Joshua Worlds. Follow me. I follow back. I don't care who you are. I love people. I love vibes. I love being able to, like, that's how I create. I don't create off just following a whole bunch of celebrities and being popular. I create off people who got 4 followers because it's something about them that I'm going to take and add to my greatness. And so, follow me.
Facts.
Man.
Hey, there it is, man. Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. Once again, I am your host, Johnny Vegas. My man, Joshua Worlds. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching. Subscribe to the channel. And like he said, DYD, dominate your dreams.
Mmm.